IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
This I just love this story. This is my favorite story of the day. And it's not easy to even find. I can't say of the week because it's been a week with Sheba and it's been a week with all sorts of things happening. But KwaZulu-Natal North Coast Eskom office has been disconnected for not paying a 500,000 rand electricity bill. Like, wow. Just wow. The office in Impangeni on the KwaZulu-Natal North Coast has been disconnected for not paying its electricity bill. That happened yesterday on a Thursday. We live in a movie. There is no question about it. Every day, every single day is just more weird than the next. And this is following the story that we spoke about earlier in the week where Gwede Mantashe says, I don't build power stations. What? Like, who, me? Me? You expect me to solve this? In a wide-ranging interview, Mantashe has repeated false claims about Eskom while defending his track record as a mineral and energy minister. We just shake our head in wonderment. Lizwe McDade is an energy consultant. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and I have to admit, I think that KZN in Eskom story, I think you're right, that should be top of the soap opera episodes for this week.
I actually don't know. And the worst part about it is I've got to be quite responsible with obviously what I talk about on the show. So I've got to fact check these things, and they're so absurd that you think there's no way. This can't be true because it's just too ridiculous.
Well, I think what makes it where you just do shake your head is that Eskom is constantly saying that part of its problem is because municipalities don't pay their bills.
Right.
And here we have a municipality which presumably is trying to pay its bill but can't because Eskom doesn't pay.
I didn't even think of that. That's bizarre. Absolutely. Okay. So now let's just put all of that aside. I mean, it's very clearly an unholy mess, which we're laughing at, but it's actually not very funny at all, is it?
I think this is the first thing is all what we are seeing is the blame game all over the place. But in the meantime, we're all sitting in the dark. And I mean, it's many people have, stock fells and a lot of perishable meat, et cetera, or small businesses, and all of that is now being undermined and destroyed because the produce is having to be thrown away because of the refrigerators going off. And, so just small things, just all of these small things, they add up to being a really large problem at the moment in the country.
And the latest talk is to revisit those power ships. Is this a realistic solution?
No.
Oh.
I mean, for all the reasons that the power ships were a bad decision in the beginning, is they run the risk of impacting on the environment. They failed the environmental report last time around, and from what I've seen, I don't think there's anything that they've done to really improve things. So they would then, and that would mean they would be undermining existing fishing livelihoods in the bays. Then you've got the cost factor, and this is where I think the Minister of Energy really needs to look in the details.
Mm-hmm.
But firstly, maybe we should just highlight some of these dots to join. Car Power Ships has signed, as far as we can see from the papers, a contract with Shell.
Right.
To supply the fuel. And that fuel, we're trying to get information, but it's linked to the international gas price. So you know what happened to the gas price after the Russia and Ukraine war started.
Yes, right.
So whatever price, and it was already expensive, price that was on the table for car power ships when Minister Gwede signed that agreement,
right,
is obviously now it's going to be, I won't say orders of magnitude, but it's going to be much bigger. So already we have a problem. Then that same company, Shell, there was a news story about a week or two ago, or in December, January, to say that the African National Congress had increased its share in Shell. So those are two dots. I can't put them together in a cause and effect, but I think there's something seriously at fault here when the energy minister is saying that, yes, it's expensive, but we must do it anyway, instead of looking at what are the real options that we could have on the table that could quickly get us out of this mess.
So what are some of those options?
So if you dig into Gwede's performance agreement, he actually has various things where he's supposed to work with the DPE, with Pravin Gordhan, to improve the energy availability factor. And part of that is also to look at embedded generation. So, and let's just take a big picture view and say, how could all of South Africa get together to help solve this crisis? Well, now imagine if Treasury, the finance minister, were to announce that anybody who in the next maybe year or 2 years puts solar power on their roof could claim a tax rebate.
It would be a game changer. Would undoubtedly look. I mean, a tremendous amount of people are starting to do this.
Yeah, but now But also, the condition would be that you have to feed it back to the grid.
Absolutely.
And the reason that that's important is, it's no good having a little island of all these people that are happily, climbed into the log and shut the door. That's not helpful. We want people who are doing this to put those electrons into the grid so that there's obviously a large number of people who can't afford to do that.
Absolutely.
But those people will then still get electricity because the other people, the small businesses that are able to do it and claim the rebate, will then be able to supply the grid.
Well, absolutely. We did this exercise, in fact, and we saw, I did it with quite a few people. I mean, just anecdotally. And what we saw was that they were producing at any given time in the house a significant amount more than they were consuming. Now, if that just got fed, and they don't have the ability, unfortunately, to put it back in the grid. If that was possible, we really could have a very different situation. Because house could assist another, let's say, half a house, or
No, exactly. And I mean, some people's electricity bill is in the thousands each month. So if you think about how many units they're using, they could assist 10 other houses that are not using that much. So just putting it in the grid will help us. The other thing is that we have a consumption problem, that we use electricity like willy-nilly at every time of the day or night. But if we knew that you and I were going to spend more if we put our geysers and our stoves on between like 7 and 9 at night, well, sorry, family, you're having supper at 6 tonight.
Absolutely.
And just by spreading that, it means that those peaking stations, which are having to come in on the peak hours, and the peak hours are the early morning when everyone gets up, has a shower, or late evening when everyone sits down to have dinner. So if you just stagger that, then you already are taking a pressure off the grid. So these are not rocket science solutions.
And some of them are already available.
They're available and they're practical. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. We need to go to news headlines. Lizzie Ware McDade, who is an energy consultant, chatting to us about the Eskom and power crisis. It's 8:30. Good morning.